will, in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I want to read verses 3 through 9. On the same day, we'll start with verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And a great multitude were gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Now you get the picture. Jesus is in a boat. There's a great multitude of people around him, and he's beginning to speak in a parable. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on the good ground and yielded a crop 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let them hear." Now look over at verse 18. "Therefore hear the parable of the sower." He's explaining this to his disciples. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much today for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, and we realize today without the Word, we will not hear. So, Lord, we ask that you open our hearts and let us understand, Lord, your Word for us today, that the Holy Spirit might quicken it to our heart, and God will give you the praise. For it's in Christ's name I ask it. Amen. Now, y'all have to bear with me. Bronchitis is back again. And he's a tough character to get rid of. I thought for a while when I surrendered to preach that God would just open the door and everyone would just immediately hear the word with joy and receive it and come to know Christ. Folks, I really thought that's probably the way it would be. Thousands would come and when they heard the word of God and receive the greatest gift of eternal life, that gift that God gave to us. For the word of God says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life." You know, when I shared the good news, that passage of Scripture, that was the best thing I'd ever heard. That God so loved me. While I was still a sinner, that if I would just put my faith and trust in him, give him my life, I could have eternal life. Down here, and then in heaven, Oh, what a joy it would be to come to know Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ told this parable, and then he explains why so many do not hear the Word of God. Why do people, and I've asked myself that over and over, sit in a church service, they listen to the Word of God, the Spirit moves. Oh, let me tell you something. The Spirit of God moves amongst the music. That was wonderful. You know, I'm glad this church still sings the old hymns. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Oh, I love that song because there's just so many blessings out there. You can't count them all. And I wonder why people will not receive Jesus Christ in their heart. Why is it that during the invitation, some come down brokenhearted and some just sit still? They never seem to be affected by the Word of God. And I think some Sundays, I tell you what, I think we have some of the greatest songs and the music that any church could ever have. And I can feel it's so powerful. The Word of God be spoken from the pulpit. Man, I tell you what, I think, well, when the invitation is given, people will come. But that's not true. On most occasions, you find no one moves. People sit there and like, well, he was talking to somebody, but it wasn't me. Have you ever felt like that? I wonder who the preacher was talking to. Well, Jesus Christ explains it in this parable of the sower and the seed. I want us to look first in verses 3 through 9 at the seed. We are all familiar with seed, okay? What is seed in the story? Well, in the Bible, the seed is the Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible, as pictures it as seed. And you go and spread that seed in different places. Every week, you go to different places where you visit, where you shop with your life. Brother Tom and I was at a restaurant the other day, and a little girl had a shirt on that said, "Forgiven." And, you know, I didn't look like a preacher. I had blood on me because we had been deer hunting, and I probably smelled pretty bad. I had my cap on, and Tom looked even worse. But we sat down to eat, and that little girl came there and ordered our meal, and I thought to myself, now, I wonder if she knows what forgiven means. So she kept coming by every once in a while and said, "Do y'all need anything?" And I said, "Yes, I want to ask you a question." And I played dumb, you know. Didn't have to play very hard. I said, "What does that mean, forgiven?" And she says, "Jesus has forgiven me of my sin." And I thought, man, that little girl knows the Bible. And I said, I gave her a thumbs up and said, "You know, I may not look like it, but I'm a Baptist preacher." And that was my deacon. And I said, "Where do you go to church?" And she told me the church. We've been there several times. And I said, "Yeah, I know exactly where the church is." And I knew Brother Jerry, her pastor, at one time, but they've changed pastor now. Brother Jerry had resigned, and they have a new pastor there. And I said, "I'm so thankful that you not only wear the shirt, but you know what it stands for." A lot of people don't do that. A lot of people wear shirts about the Lord many times in Scripture, but they really don't know what it stands for. And they dare not say, "Jesus died for my sin." You know, it's one thing to wear it, but it's another thing to tell people about it. And she was willing to tell people about it. And how wonderful it is to have the gift of God in our heart. You see, the Word of God, I believe, is the inspired Word of God. Everything that the Bible writes, I believe, is true. It was inspired by God to these men, and they wrote it just like God gave it to them. And it's God's personal message to you and I. It's for me, and it's for you. And when the seed, the Word of God, is sown, it's thrown out there, there's a little life inside that old dry seed. And when it's sown, it comes to life. And it dies to itself. And it comes to life. Now, if you look at the seed, it doesn't look like it has life at all. As a matter of fact, I planted a lot of seed. When I was younger, we had a little farm there, and Daddy made us get out there and put corn in and peas in. And he'd say, boys, just put maybe two or three in that little hole. Well, that lasts a long time. I didn't have to do it that way. So, man, we would drop more than just two or three. We'd get through quick. And he'd say, boys, what did y'all do? Oh, nothing, Daddy. We planted all of that. Well, trouble is, it comes up. And Daddy knew exactly what we did. And so next time, after a good whipping, we did it right. But, you know, seeds come up. They're dry. They're dead looking. But you put them in the soil, and God brings the sunshine, and God brings the rain, and that little dead looking seed begins to come alive. Well, when the Word of God is sown, it falls on all kinds of ground, doesn't it? It falls in all kinds of places. When you plant the Word of God, that little seed, the Word, touches people's lives, and the Holy Spirit quickens it to their life, and that life comes alive. How do I know? Because it came to life in my life, you see. The Word of God speaks to our hearts, and that's the reason I pray, Lord, let the Holy Spirit open our hearts and speak to our hearts this morning. And the Bible is like that little seed. It was written, and the truths of the Word of God is the genetic code for eternal life, right here. If you want to know how to live life, God's Word tells us. And folks, it is a mighty, mighty seed. 1 Peter 1:21 says, the Word of God is that incorruptible seed of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, it is alive. God's Word is alive and powerful unto salvation to those who believe. Now, these words that I speak of the Spirit are true, and gives life to all who will receive it into their life. All you have to do is receive the Word of God this morning. The Word of God is planted into the human heart, and it reproduces itself and gives that person eternal life and that human heart. There was a time when many of you were lost. You were lost in your sin. You were lost in this old world, and the Word of God was planted. I don't know. It might have been planted way back yonder in Vacation Bible School. As a little kid, somebody told you about God's love and God's Word. It may have been in a revival service when an evangelist came in and he preached, and it stirred your heart. That seed was planted. It might have been by a Sunday school teacher who was telling you about God and spread that Word, and that Word fell upon your heart, and your heart began to think about God and eternal life and your life, how lost you were. It may have been by a deacon. It may have been by a member of the church. Whoever it was, they were sowing the Word of God, and that Word of God came alive, and you were born again. You see, the Word of God brings forth life, and it reproduces itself. And Jesus says, sow the seed. Sow the seed. Let it touch people's hearts. Now, the Word of God is like that seed because it is a very powerful seed. You know, I was thinking about how powerful the Word of God really is and how powerful a little seed is. We had in our first home years ago, Ron and I had a tree planted by the porch, and that tree got bigger and bigger and bigger, and in a little while, you know, that broke the concrete up around the sidewalk. Just a little root, just a little seed of a tree. Have you ever looked? I looked over at the Spanish restaurant over in, they changed now, but there was a flower growing in the crack of all that concrete. I plant flowers and they die. If you want to kill your plants, well, just bring them to my house. I can kill those plants. But you know, Bob Justice got out there years ago and planted some out around our sign out there. They're never watered except by God. And every year they come up and they spring up and they find the beautiful flowers. And I'm wondering, Lord, how did he do that? That's the power of life. That's the power of that seed. Have you ever thought about how powerful God's word is? It can change a man's life. It can change a woman's life. The Bible, it's rather a small book compared to some books, but the power as it is preached by the power of the Holy Spirit in a church, in a community, it is preached to a nation. It changed the ways of the world if we'll just sow that seed. Those disciples went out when Christ had gone back, and they went out and they began to sow the seed of the Word of God. They made some mad, some wouldn't believe it, but let me tell you something. The Spirit moved and many, many were saved. It came to America, and we're the nation we are now because we're one nation under God, and we believe the Word of God, and we trusted the Word of God. That seed is alive. It is powerful. And then we see the sower. It says, behold, a man went forth to sow. Now, in the context, Jesus was talking about himself, you see. He that sows the good seed is the Son of Man, in verse 37. Jesus, for 3.5 years, went everywhere sowing the good seed. You see, he preached and he taught people, and multitudes, it says, gathered around him to hear him speak. I tell you, it's also true that you and I are the sowers of the seed. If you've been born again, folks, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you're supposed to be sowing the seed wherever you go, whether it's in a restaurant or whether it's in Walmart, whether it's just to your neighbor's house. The truth is, everybody in one way or the other is a sower. You see, some are sowers of discord. They like to start trouble, and they sow false stories. Yet some are sowing in the flesh, and they will reap a crop of corruption. What you sow produces of itself. And some are sowing in the Spirit of God, and they're bringing forth, the Bible says, a harvest to eternal life. Now listen. Everyone can sow. You can give your testimony. You can pass out tracts. You can wear a t-shirt or a shirt that says forgiven and be able to explain why when someone asks you. You can sing about Jesus Christ. The songs of Count Your Blessings and all of those. While you're doing that, you're sowing the seed. A little child can sow the seed just as effectively as an experienced Christian. That little child. You see, ask yourself this morning, are you a seed sower? Are you sowing the seed this morning? We saw a lot. I mean, if we sow a lot, the Bible says you reap a lot. You sow sparingly, the Bible says you reap sparingly. As a church, we ought to sow the seed, folks. Sow the seed every week. Sow the seed. You know, an insurance salesman says, in their telemarketing, they'll tell you, the more contacts made, the more sales you're going to receive. It's the same way in the Christian life. It's the same way as you sow. You may not win that first person. They may run you out of the house. They may not have anything to do with it. But you keep sowing the seed. You keep telling people about Jesus Christ. You see, that's what we're supposed to do. Sow the seed. Let God do the rest. We take the responsibility on ourselves. Oh, preacher, if I go out there and try to sow the seed, I'll be a failure. You are a failure if you don't sow. He didn't tell us we're to win every person to Christ. He just says, sow the seed. Leave it up to God. Share your testimony. Share it with compassion. Share it with concern. Listen to what Psalm 126 says. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. I had a teacher back in rec laws in Sunday school. I loved that lady to death. We all did. She had about four boys, and we gave her fits. But she loved us. Her name was Miss Sally Richards. She was compassionate to us. She'd bring cookies to us. She would talk to us. She led us through the Bible. She made us remember and recite the books of the Bible. Oh, we gave her fits, but she loved us. Whenever she would see you, she would hug you, she would smile. She'd say, that's one of my little students, my boys. I never will forget her. She's gone on to glory now. She's received her reward. Man, let me tell you, she sowed that seed. She was patient, you see. We have to be patient. Someone said, preacher, how can you give an invitation, and if no one comes, don't you get discouraged? I'm patient. I'm just sowing a seed. God's going to speak sooner or later to someone's heart. Every time you sow, you see, I will be the first to say, I know a little bit about raising a garden, folks. But I know that if you don't sow the seed, you're not going to get anything. I know you have to be patient. I know you have to cultivate that seed. Somewhere down the process, it's going to sprout up. I never will forget, I talked to an old boy, and I talked to an old boy from working, and I talked to him about Jesus. Nope, don't want to have anything to do with that. You can't prove there is a God. I said, you can't prove there's not one. We talked about it. And he always told me, one day, when I'm able to live the Christian life, maybe I'll accept him. And I said, you'll never accept him. Did you know what? He's my brother-in-law now. And he's accepted Christ. I would like to say, maybe I had a little bit to do with that. But I just sowed the seed. Some of you know Charles. He's the one that developed cancer lately. But you know what? He said, it's all going to be all right. One way or the other, man, I see how he's grown in Christ. They're in church every Sunday. You see, sow the seed. Sow the seed. It will bear fruit. Listen, the Bible says, let us not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I know some of you have been praying for your children for a long time. And you prayed hard for those children. Just keep praying for them. Keep praying for them. Keep asking God to bring forth that fruit. Jesus says, here's the seed, the word of God. Here's the sower, you and I. And then he says, there's something about the soil. I think the key to the whole story, as Jesus tells it, is the soil, you see. Now, in verse 19, Jesus explains this beautiful parable. He's talking about the physical, not talking about the physical heart. We've all got a heart, but we're talking about the spiritual heart, your heart, your spiritual heart, your life. Is like soil. Now, we know that the human heart is like a garden of blessings or a jungle of weeds. Sometimes we have weeds, sometimes we run into those blessings. But if you leave the heart unattended, folks, you let a little child, I'm so glad you parents are bringing your children to church, if you let that little child go unattended, you don't tend to them. Leave them to themselves. The human heart will rot. It will rot. And it'll bring forth a crop of sin and a crop of pain. You just don't do nothing to you. I hear parents say, well, I don't want to make my children go to church. I think they ought to have a freedom. No. They're too young to know right from wrong right now. You bring them to church. You teach them the word of God. That's what Jesus would want. He says, train up a child in the way they should go. You see? You leave them alone, you're going to have problems. The heart can become a vacant lot of weeds, folks, that will entangle your life. Man, it'll be a jungle of guilt upon those lives if you leave them alone. You'll find a cesspool of corruption in that beautiful little child if you don't tell them about Jesus Christ. The heart needs that word of God in it. And I believe when the good word is planted, one day that little child will bring a blessing to you. I tell you what. I know some kids that are a blessing to us. I think I've got to two of the greatest boys in time. And I love them both. They're a blessing to Rhonda and I. Did they ever make a mistake? Yeah, they did. You see? But they're serving God. And I believe they're a blessing to life. I'm so glad we made them go to church. I'm so glad we made them, you know, because that's what parents are for, to lead your children in the right direction. Now, Jesus talks about the soil here and the four kinds of soil. He says some of the seed fell on that wayside, the pathway between the crops. People would walk, pat it down. And, you know, I grew up in the country, and old cows walked the same old track every day. And you know what? It becomes a hard path where those cows walk. Why? Because they stomp it down. They walk that same path. I've never understood that. How can they walk the same path? Oh, they'll just curve around, but they do it every day. And they follow that path. But you know what? That path is so hard, you can't plant on it. And that's what he's talking about here. People have walked the paths and pounded down and pounded down, and seed falls on that path, and it's unresponsive to it. You see what? All week long, our hearts are pounded and pounded and pounded by the world. They're pounded and pounded and pounded about different theories about things. They're pounded about opinions and ideas, information, the world throws out there. They're pounded by the music of the world and the opinions and the influence of the world until their hearts become hard as a rock. Now, when the person whose heart is hard, it's unresponsive. It has very little interest in the Word of God. What I'm saying usually goes in one ear and out the other, because they're so full of the world, they're not listening to what God says. Just got through teaching on Judas as the last man. Have you ever thought about Judas? He was with Jesus every day. He walked with him, talked with him, saw the miracles for 3.5 years, but his heart was hardened. He wouldn't receive the word. He heard the same thing the others did. Now let me tell you something. We're living in what they used to say is the Bible Belt, where churches are on every corner and almost that way here. You have a lot of people brought up in church, and they've all heard the word of God over and over and over, but yet their heart is like that of Judas. They're not interested in the word. They've just been going to church. They're not interested in the message of faith. They understand, but they just didn't take it in. Now, when you walk out of here, if you're one of these, the Bible says the birds snatch it away. You're so unresponsive. Now, what kind of heart do you have? Is it a pounded down heart? So hard that the word is not listening or sinking in? And then look at verse 20. But he who receives the seed on stony places. Now, here you have a stony heart, an impulsive heart. Now, in Israel, there was a thin layer of soil there. Just a thin layer. Didn't have very good depth. You may have a garden like this. I know soil like this. It has very little depth to it. A seed can take root, but it dies down. The seed world comes up because there's no depth in that seed, in that heart. The world will scorch it until it dies. And I believe there's those here this morning who come to be excited. They want to be excited by the music. They want to be excited by the word. And they'll walk out and say, "That's a good message, preacher." But they never receive the word. It's there. They come to be entertained. They come to make their life feel good. But really, in church, they're miserable people. They're miserable people. They're bored to death about what I have to say. And some this morning may be saying, "I wish you'd hurry up. It's almost dinner time." You're one of those. You're one of those. You're being entertained and you're not happy. And the troubles of the world, the Bible says, the tribulations, the persecutions come. And you say, "Well, I tried religion. I tried going to church. I tried Jesus. He just didn't do anything for me." It's because your heart was wrong to start with. Unresponsive heart, an impulsive heart. Look at verse 22. Jesus talks about the third kind. I think it's the congestive heart. He hears the word, but the cares of the world. When you become a Christian, it doesn't mean that your troubles are over. Boy, I tell you, people think, "Well, it's all over." Let me tell you something. No more heartaches? That's not true. No more problems? That's not true. It just doesn't work that way. Have you ever been praying and had the Lord speak to you and comfort you, and then the next thing you know, you're out into the world and you're doing things of the world and you're not with God anymore, and you're broken that fellowship and relationship with God because of sin and things like that, and you're wondering, "Why ain't God blessing me anymore? Who left?" God didn't leave you. You see? He says, because of the deceitfulness of riches. That means you think the Lord are more the riches than you do the Lord. You got to be careful as a Christian that you don't get caught up in the things of the world. We were talking about idols this morning. Let me tell you something. There's all kinds of idols out there in this world. Anything, I believe, that you put before God is an idol. It could be your new house. It could be your new car. It can be God, your wife or children. It can be just about anything that you put before God. Be careful that you don't let the deceitfulness of riches pull you away. I've known some people making a living was more important than God. And they claim to be Christians. Be careful. Be careful. And I like number 23. He who receives the seed good on good ground, the receptive heart. Now, those people are here too this morning. They're here. These people yield to the word of God. They hear the word of God this morning. They welcome it into their heart. Let me tell you something. I know that these people have accepted Christ because why? You see a change in their life. Amen? Fruit begins to come up. Some people say, well, you're not to judge people. I used to say, no, but I'm a fruit inspector. I see people that are, you know, growing crops every week. Jesus says there's three kinds of good soil, three kinds of crop. Some hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Now, those 30-fold Christians, you're saved, I believe with all my heart. You love the Lord. You love lost people. You want them to come to know Jesus Christ. You love people. You come to church. You invite people to church. 60-fold. You're one of the pillars of God's work. You've learned how to witness. Your heart wants to share the word of God. You're regular in Bible study. You're regular on Wednesday night. You're inviting people and you're witnessing. That's good. And then he says 100-fold. Let me tell you, 100-fold person is one that's just sold out to God. You're sold out to God. You live to bring honor and glory to God. All you want in your life is to live for God. You surrendered it all to God, and you're living to bring honor to Him. Every day you're sowing the seed. You're telling people about Jesus Christ. Your heart is showing to them. They look at your life and they see Christ. You're a 100-fold Christian. Did you know that one person's heart can go all of those stages, 100, 30, and 60? Remember the woman at the well? Here's the story, and I'll tell it real quick. Jesus said, "Lady, would you give me a drink of water?" You know what he did? He threw the seed. He threw the seed. She said, "How is it that you're a Jew would ask water from me?" She's so unresponsive to the word of God. You know what Jesus did? He just kept sowing the seed. He said, "I have some water." "What? You just asked me for a drink. How do you have some water? If you knew the water that I would give, you'd never thirst again." Oh, well, she got excited about that. A water that you can give me that I'll never thirst again? Wouldn't that be exciting? So she has an impulsive heart. But Jesus didn't stop there. He just kept sowing that precious seed. You know what he said? "Call your husband." "Oh," she said, "I don't have a husband." And Jesus said, "You're right. You've got five. Let me tell you something. She had a crowded heart. She had that old crowded heart. Sin has crowded in her life. And Jesus just kept sowing. He said, you know what? I am the Messiah who speaks to you. And he took the word and she received it. You see, she reaches back to Jesus Christ. She said, Lord, I want that water. I don't want to be thirsty again. And she rushes away to tell the multitude. Folks, she comes back. Man, she's done told the multitude, come see this man who's got the water of life. She has a fruitful heart, folks. Now, let me ask you one question, then we'll quit. What kind of soul do you have? Unresponsive? Maybe. Congestive? Impulsive? Or fruitful? Which one do you have this morning? There's all kinds here. Which do you have? If you never receive Christ, you have the unresponsive heart. Wouldn't it be better to be a fruitful person? To live a life of joy? This woman at the well, for the first time in her life, she was happy. She was happy. To her, going to the well was a chore. She was going at high noon. All the women, she didn't want to be around them. They didn't like her. They knew her life. She was lonely. But this man Jesus gave her eternal life. And now she brings the multitudes. Man, don't you want to be a fruitful person? This morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, come to him. All you have to do is by faith say, Lord, I want to receive you into my life. I realize that my heart is cold. I want it to become alive. I want to respond. I want to give my life to you. And then let it grow. Let it grow in your heart to become fruitful. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much today for the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, that your Spirit speaks to us. And Lord, I don't know who's here, but Lord, if they need to make a decision, they've never trusted Christ, Lord, let them come before it's too late. If they have trusted Christ and they're not doing what they should do, let them come and just recommit their life to you. And then, Lord, if somebody's here looking for a church home, and this is the place you've led them, let them follow your will and Spirit, and let them come. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.